A terrific Tuesday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. While there are many different takeaways to talk about from the Grizzlies' postseason performance in 2022, one of the most fun narratives is the fact that Desmond Bain used the playoffs to put together perhaps one of the most impressive shooting campaigns in league history, plus areas of optimism and opportunity for growth when it comes to the shot distribution for the Grizzlies for the playoffs. We'll talk about that and much more here on Locked On Grizzlies. Here we go.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, your co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every single day. Of course, you can find myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. My co-host, DeMichael Cole, who will be with me later this week, you can find him at DeMichael C on Twitter. The show at Locked On Grizz. Find us free on all podcast platforms. Just hit that subscribe button, whether you're on a podcast platform or you're right here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button as well. Let's us know you enjoy the show. Let's others find the show. Just makes the show experience the best it can be for everybody involved. Again, Sean Coleman here, credentialed media member with the Grizzlies, have been covering the Grizzlies for over 4 years over at Grizzly Bear Blues, and your co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every single day. Before we continue with the show, do want to send a special shout out to a few friends of the show, frequent guests Joe Mullinax and Parker Fleming. Joe Mullinax has had an incredible run as site manager over at Grizzly Bear Blues, but yesterday was his last day as site manager as he's moving on to bigger and better things, I imagine, for him and his family. And of course, that means that the new site manager over at Grizzly Bear Blues is Parker Fleming. There's no one more deserving than Parker to take over the role, and Joe has been incredible in his run. Both have been huge supporters for me during my time growing and my coverage of the Grizzlies, and both are two individuals that I'm very happy to call good friends. So a special shout out to Joe Mullinax on an incredible run as site manager. Best of luck to him, and really excited to be a part of what Parker is going to lead GBB towards in the future. Going to be incredible and fun to see. But speaking of incredible and fun to see moving forward, that is going to be Desmond Bane. Now, if you've listened to this show over the past 2 years, you know that Desmond Bane, probably besides Ja Morant and Jaren, is my favorite player to discuss. And I want to put this into a perspective that I feel is important to make relevant. I talk about Desmond Bane. A big reason why I talk about him is because if there's the one thing that this Grizzlies franchise has needed, besides Ja Morant being the superstar that they'd never had before Ja arrived, it's having an elite shooter. But I want to make it clear, Desmond Bane is just not your run-of-the-mill elite shooter who had an unsustainable second year in the NBA when it came to his shooting success. Desmond Bane is not someone who we should celebrate his shooting because we've never really had someone to the level perform that he did this year. Desmond Bane should be celebrated as a shooter because when you consider his age, it was his second year in the league, and when you consider the volume of the shots that he took from three, but as well as the consistency of the quality of the shot that he performed at, this arguably has been, he arguably has put together, when you put together the regular season and the postseason, Desmond Bane arguably has put together one of the most impressive shooting seasons in NBA history. Overall, Desmond Bane made 271 threes this year between the regular season and the postseason. 44.2% of his three-point attempts went in. Consider this. There have been 13 times in NBA history, when a player has made 225 or more threes and made those threes at a 43% or better clip. Desmond Bane did that in the regular season this year. There have been 21 times where an NBA player made 40 or more threes at a 43% or better clip in a single postseason run. Desmond Bane did that this year. So he's both part of elite company during the regular season and the postseason. But of those 13 times that Desmond Bane did what he did during the regular season, and of the 21 times players have done what Desmond Bane did during the postseason, Desmond Bane is the only one who has done it within the same season. Desmond Bane legitimately produced a historic shooting performance both in the regular season and the postseason this year. There probably is no better evidence that Desmond Bane, no matter the stage that he's on, no matter how big of a spotlight he's in, no matter how important of a game it is, no matter how important it is for him to rise to the occasion, Desmond Bane consistently performed at a needed elite level for the Grizzlies to be where they got this year. That's how impressive and special his shooting campaign has been. And it's not like he went off at home. Desmond Bane put together potentially one of the very best seasons we've ever seen from a shooter on the road. During the regular season, Desmond Bane made 131 threes. His 47.6% three-point percentage on the road was the second highest in NBA history for any player that made 100 or more threes on the road during the regular season. Only Joe Ingles had a higher three-point percentage than Desmond Bane this year when it came to hitting threes on the road. Well, that was during the regular season. What did Desmond Bane do during the postseason? Made 56% of his road threes, 30 of 54 on the road. So we're not just talking about Desmond Bane performing well during the regular season, and as the stage got bigger and brighter at home during the postseason, he became even more productive on the road. A historic shooting performance for Desmond Bane, not just in terms of the Grizzlies franchise, but in terms of league history. When you combine the volume, the quantity of shots that Bane took, along with the consistency in his quality, you're going to find very few impressive shooting seasons than what Desmond Bane did this year. And it's so special to see that that consistency carried over to the postseason, just like it did the regular season. But it doesn't stop there. The other thing that stands out is that Desmond Bane is not just sitting here being a spot-up shooter hitting threes. He consistently, at times, carried the Grizzlies' offense against Minnesota. When Ja Morant was less than 100%, and Minnesota was doing a good job of defending him, keeping him from scoring, making him more of a distributor than a scorer, it was Desmond Bane who stood up. Who stood up in the spotlight and stood out. 26 points in Game 3, 34 in Game 4, 25 in Game 5, 26 in Game 6 against the Timberwolves. And of course, he ran into a bit of unfortunate injury luck in the first part of the Golden State series, but then in Game 5 and Game 6, he made 8 threes on 13 attempts and scored 21 points and 25 points. Desmond Bane, again in the playoffs, proved he's more than just a shooter. Though he's historic in that aspect of his game, he's much more than that. He's a complete scorer and a great complement to Ja Morant. So one of the biggest narratives to take away from this postseason for the Grizzlies is the fact that there is no stage, there is no spotlight too bright for Desmond Bane. He can step up and star to help this Grizzlies offense get to the level that it needs to get. And as we've talked about, just as much as the regular season showed that Ja Morant and Desmond Bane can be one of the best backcourts in the league, and that is a very, very important combination for a team to have to be successful in today's NBA, they can remain one of the best backcourts in the league in the postseason. And they can complement each other so well with Ja's ability to get into the lane and Dez shooting like he did during the postseason. And this is exactly what you need to happen. This is the exact development that you need. Just as important as Jaren becoming a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, just as important as Ja ascending to an All-NBA level player, Bane's development is just as important as the development of Ja and Jaren when it comes to developing a championship core. This is a championship-level backcourt. Ja and Bane have the potential to be a championship-level backcourt, just like you saw or you've seen Chris Middleton, his development be so key in supporting Giannis to make Milwaukee a title contender and eventually have them win a title. It's that level when it comes to Bane's development supporting Ja. I'm not saying it's going to lead to a championship, but I'm saying that it's essential for the Grizzlies to be able to truly be a championship-type contender for multiple years into the future. So one of the biggest takeaways and one of the most important takeaways from the future, from the regular season and postseason, is the development of Desmond Bane. The consistency of his shot, but also the consistency of his scoring ability. And let's not ignore the fact that the improvements that we saw in the playmaking from Desmond Bane towards the end of the regular season, they translated to the playoffs. 26 assists to 16 turnovers. You certainly wish for a bit more passing from Desmond Bane, but at the end of the day, he was asked to score more than he usually did with the limitations Ja had in the first series, and then also, of course, Ja being out for half of the second series. A very impressive playoffs from Desmond Bane show he's a star in the making, and his development for him is just as important to the Grizzlies' future as John Jaren's has been this year. And of course, Desmond Bane's production also led to the Grizzlies doing a bit better than expected when it comes to shooting threes in the playoffs. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Before we do, I want to talk with you a bit about Prize Picks. Now, I've just talked about Desmond Bane as much as I can, and as impressive as his performance in. So when it comes to Prize Picks, there may not be many better bets when it comes to prop bets through Prize Picks than betting on Desmond Bane making a bunch of threes when it comes to a game. But Prize Picks is so awesome because it's easy to use. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. And Prize Picks doesn't offer just this for the NBA. They have options on college basketball, college football, NFL, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. Whatever sport is in season, Prize Picks has got you taken care of. For a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. And users get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. But you must use the promo code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use the promo code NBA 50% for free if a player in your first Prize Pick entry scores a single point. Well, I can tell you another thing that really would make your day great besides checking out Prize Picks is something that we frequently talk about, but because it's such an awesome part of your day once you add it, and that's Built Bar. Have it in the morning for breakfast, have it in the afternoon as a snack. You've got Built Bars, you've got Built Puffs, over 18 different flavors to choose from. And if you go to Built.com right now, you put in the promo code LOCKED15, you'll be able to get 15% off your order from Built Bar. And as my co-host mentioned, have it late at night. It's a great, tasty snack that also offers energy as well as health benefits. Check out Built.com right now. Choose from over 18 different flavors. Put in the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. No, the Grizzlies season is done. And no, many of us certainly want to talk about as much Grizzlies as we possibly can. But if you're a fan in general of the NBA, it's an exciting week. Tonight is the NBA Draft Lottery. And of course, tonight also starts the conference finals. If you want the latest from around the NBA, check out the Locked On NBA podcast as your second listen of the day after Locked On Grizzlies. So, of course, we want to talk about a bit, you know, as special as Desmond Bane was this postseason, it obviously is the entire roster when it comes to their overall ability to shoot that really is going to continue to define offensively just how far this Grizzlies team can go in their eventual pursuit of a championship. And the thing that I can say is this. There actually is encouraging numbers from this playoff stretch that show that the Grizzlies, at least in my opinion, did perform well when it came to their overall ability of shooting from distance. Because going into the playoffs, it was pretty clear. We saw the Jazz do it last year. We've seen many teams do it in playoff situations against this version of the Grizzlies over the past few years. The Grizzlies under Taylor Jenkins are well known as being a team that is going to look to dominate the paint. They're going to look to win the possession battle, get into the paint as much as possible because that's the style of their best player in Ja Morant. They're going to crash the offensive boards and they're going to get in as many paint points as possible to be able to set the tone early and win games. And of course, teams, Minnesota and Golden State obviously in particular, they made it a point to go into the paint and prevent the Grizzlies from overall being able to score at will in the paint. The Timberwolves and Warriors were going to make it clear the Grizzlies were going to have to beat them by shooting the three-pointer well. And guess what? That's exactly what the Grizzlies did. Though overall, at the end of the day, it didn't lead to them being able to beat the Warriors. Their ability to shoot the three for the Grizzlies absolutely was one of the biggest factors that allowed for them to at least be in the position, if a few other things would have gone their way, to have beaten the Warriors in the second round of the playoffs. The thing that stands out about the Grizzlies is this, is that going into the playoffs, the Grizzlies were 23rd in the league in three-pointers made per game at 11.5. made threes during the regular season. That is right in line with where the Grizzlies had been over the two previous years under Taylor Jenkins. So, you know, for all the strides that we had hoped to talk about for the Grizzlies when it came to three-point shooting, it really wasn't there for much of the first half of the season, which would have covered the first 60 games of the season. But after that, things got a bit more impressive. And a lot of it had to do with Desmond Bain finding his best form of the season, DeAnthony Melton getting hot from three. But in the second half of the season, for whatever you want to call it, after the All-Star break, basically through the months, through the 2 months of mid-February through mid-April, the Grizzlies were seventh after the All-Star break in the NBA when it came to three-point shooting. And that translated to the playoffs. After the Grizzlies averaged 11.5 threes per game, which was 23rd in the league during the regular season, they actually averaged over 13 threes per game in the postseason, which was fifth in three-pointers per made among all NBA teams in the postseason. Among the 16 NBA teams that played a postseason game this year, the Grizzlies averaged the fifth highest amount of three-pointers made per game. But even more importantly, they were seventh in three-point field goal percentage. And what was most impressive about those numbers is that that allowed the Grizzlies, who again were 23rd in the regular season in three-pointers made per game, their improvement in the second half of the season, or after the All-Star break during the regular season, that translating to the Grizzlies making over 13 threes per game, shooting nearly 37% for three per game in the postseason, it was very much needed because both the Timberwolves and the Golden State Warriors were two of the five best three-point, or at least two of the five most productive three-point shooting teams during the regular season this year, and the Grizzlies held their own against both teams. We talked about it, right? In the four games versus Minnesota during the regular season, the Grizzlies made 25 less threes than the Timberwolves. In the opening round of this playoffs, the Grizzlies made 9 less threes in game one. But for the rest of the series, the Grizzlies only made 4 less threes. They were able to close that three-point differential gap. And at the end of the day, they won 4 out of the last 5 games because they did not dig themselves into such a far hole when it came to three-point shooting. And it made all the difference in the world, especially in those fourth quarter comebacks. But then in the second round, the Grizzlies' three-point shooting actually got even better. They actually made more threes and were shot better from three than the Golden State Warriors. Now, we'll discuss in a moment why that may have actually played a bit into the Warriors' favor, but it still matters that teams made it clear the Grizzlies were going to have to beat them by shooting the three ball consistently. And though the Grizzlies did have some forgettable games from three during the playoffs, more often than not, they held their own or exceeded expectations when it came to shooting the three. And I also want to point out, it wasn't just Desmond Bane who was impressive shooting the three. Overall, it was the Grizzlies in general. Ja Morant, though he struggled against the Timberwolves as he had done during the regular season, 13 threes in the three games that he played against Golden State in the second round. More than impressive for him to average nearly 38 per game against Golden State. But going along with Desmond Bane, you had Jaren Jackson Jr., who shot 37.5% from three, certainly an improvement from his regular season. You had Tyus Jones, who made 18 threes, 18 of his 45 threes, shooting 40%. Dylan Brooks, again, he wasn't at his best, but when he did accept his role as being a potential three-point outlet, he did great. Game 2 against the Timberwolves, Game 6 against the Timberwolves, Game 6 against the Warriors, he did excellent shooting the three at times, and it was needed. So it was a combined team effort that certainly helped this Grizzlies team exceed expectations from three and allowed for them to have a successful postseason run. And this is going to be key moving forward. We've seen the fact that Ja can put together stretches where he can shoot better than expected from three in the postseason. We know that Desmond Bane is going to fulfill that role as an elite shooter that every championship core needs moving forward. But where is the rest of the support going to come from? If the Grizzlies wind up re-signing Tyus Jones, that will be a huge boost when he's in the game. But the two players one of the biggest narratives that I feel is going to happen and is going to continue to define just how much of a title window the Grizzlies have. Can Jaren Jackson Jr. regain the shooting form from his sophomore season? And can Zaire Williams build off his success from three late into the season and also in the playoffs? The Grizzlies know what they've got in their backcourt. They know that Ja can be hot for stretches at times when he needs to be from three, and that Desmond Bane is one of the top 5 or 10 shooters moving forward in the NBA. If the Grizzlies can get above average production from three from their front court in the form of Zaire Williams and Jaren Jackson Jr., you've now got the three-point shooting depth you need to excel in the playoffs. And this team showed that it can step up and do it when it needs to this postseason. So again, didn't answer all the questions, but the Grizzlies did show that when they had to shift their focus to shooting the three ball more often than they did at times during the regular season, they could hold their own. And that's what led them to the victory in a tough first round matchup against the Timberwolves and what at least gave them the opportunity to win games consistently against the Golden State Warriors. But while the Grizzlies' production from three was impressive during the playoffs, they may have become a little bit too reliable on shooting the three. And also, they certainly didn't support their efforts when it came to their two-point shooting as well. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Before we do, I want to talk with you a bit about BetOnline.net. Now, the Eastern Conference Finals, the Western Conference Finals are going on. So many different fun things to bet on, whether it be prop bets for Luka, prop bets for Steph, who's going to win what, all this different stuff. But you're not just limited when it comes to your wagering and betting on sports at BetOnline.net to the NBA playoffs. You got the NHL playoffs, MLB, MMA, boxing, soccer, whatever you enjoy. BetOnline.net is the best place for you because it's the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all the sports you love. You don't want to have to worry about the routine that you go through of betting and wagering on sports. You want to worry about the content of your bets, and BetOnline.net lets you do that. Check out BetOnline.net today. On tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, we'll react to the 2022 NBA Draft Lottery and also continue our discussion of takeaways from the 2022 playoffs from the Grizzlies. What are some needed areas for the Grizzlies to continue to grow in, for them to improve their chances to advance in future playoffs? That and much more on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So like I discussed in the second segment, the teams, the Timberwolves and Golden State, and it didn't matter who the Grizzlies were going to play. Teams that the Grizzlies were going to play once the playoffs came to light, teams were going to focus on shielding off or walling off, whatever have you, the lane, and making it to where the Grizzlies were going to have to produce from distance when it came to their shot for the Grizzlies to be able to win in the playoffs. And the Grizzlies, I think, met the expectations and even exceeded them at times when it came to their overall shooting from beyond the arc and from distance. But the problem is that the Grizzlies sacrificed a bit of consistency when it came to them doing that. Yes, the Grizzlies were going to need to find the opportunity to hit threes on a consistent basis. And for the most part, they did. But I think that at times, the Grizzlies came a bit too reliable on shooting the three. And what happened was that they lost the overall balance that they needed to remain consistent. One of the things that hurt them at times during Golden State was the fact that the Grizzlies in the first half went to, we talked about it in game three, though it probably wouldn't matter, but the Grizzlies went like 9 minutes scoring only like 2 or 3 points. Game six, the Grizzlies were up, I believe, by 5-6 points with 4.5 minutes to go in the second quarter, but then they didn't score for the final 4.5 minutes of the half, and the Warriors took the lead. The Grizzlies' ability to find offensive consistency is going to be one of the biggest things for them to accomplish to advance in future playoff series, and that involves not only them exceeding expectations shooting from three, but also maintaining their consistency when it comes to shooting the two-point shot. Because at the end of the day, if you combine that balance, that's what leads to one of the things that I consistently talked about, the Grizzlies' ability to find the best shot that they could as often as possible when possessions gain more value in the postseason. Because as impressive as the Grizzlies were from three, they were dead last among all playoff teams in two-point field goal percentage. One of the biggest reasons why the Golden State Warriors were able to defeat the Grizzlies through at least the first 5 games of the series in which they went up 3-2, The Golden State Warriors absolutely destroyed the Grizzlies when it came to two-point production. I believe through the first four or five games of the series, I believe going into game five, the Warriors had made like 35 to 40 more two-point shots, and they were shooting 61% from two, whereas the Grizzlies were only shooting 47%. So yes, the Grizzlies' three-point shooting was highly encouraging, but at times they became too reliable on it, and I think had too many stretches where they weren't finding the best shot possible. And it goes back to several players who struggled shooting the two-point shot. Ja Morant, he struggled obviously in the first series, came on in the second series. He shot about 48% from two. So, you know, that's fine. That's what you were expecting from him. Brandon Clark, 62% from the field on two-point shots. You expect that from him. Desmond Bane, nearly 47%. But then you start getting into the struggles. 35% from Dylan on 102 point shots. 38.1% from Jaren Jackson Jr. That's certainly not something that you want to see from the highest ceiling big that you have on the court. You certainly need for Jaren to shoot better than 38% from two. Tyus Jones, only 39% from two. One area where the Grizzlies definitely struggled was they attempted more shots in the floater area during the postseason than they did in the regular season, but they also made quite a few less. So the Grizzlies' ability to find effective looks from inside the arc, it significantly regressed in the postseason, and you certainly expected it. You expected for that to happen as the Grizzlies were going to face talented defenses that were going to make it a point to make the Grizzlies not get as many clean looks inside the arc. But in my opinion, the Grizzlies are too talented to be the worst team in the playoffs when it comes to shooting the two-point shot. And you have to hope that the consistency will get better. Because at the end of the day, although when possessions have more value, and Dylan Brooks is an example of this, at times Jaren can be an example of it too, but those ill-advised three-point shots that are misses, and those two-point looks that aren't that great because you didn't make the extra pass, those basically become turnovers. And it especially becomes even more important for the Grizzlies to have this offensive balance, for the Grizzlies to be able to find the best shot possible on as many possessions as possible when they run into a situation against the Warriors where they weren't getting as many offensive rebounds. Now, if you're not getting the best shot possible as often as you usually would like, but you're making up for it by getting offensive rebounds, it's not that big of a deal. But the Grizzlies not winning the possession battle, that makes it even more important for them to find the best shot as much as possible on every possession, balancing out two-point shots with three-point shots. And when they're not doing it, it gets in the way of the offense being consistent. So overall, the play of Desmond Bane was absolutely incredible. Overall, the Grizzlies exceeded expectations. They showed they could hold their own from three when teams were going to force them to have to be productive from distance to win basketball games in the NBA playoffs. But one thing moving forward that the Grizzlies are going to have to put emphasis on is continuing to move the basketball and continuing to try to find the best shot possible as often as possible. Making the extra pass, moving off the ball, schemes that allow for off-ball screening to get players open. All those things matter. The Grizzlies are going to have to do a better job of maintaining their consistency throughout all parts of the game so they don't run into those cold stretches that played a big part in them not being able to capitalize when they had a few games that they could have won during the series against the Warriors. So overall on offense, I don't think there's anything to hang your head about. The Grizzlies exceeded expectations when it came to shooting the three. You have to love the outstanding performances at times of Brandon Clark and Tyus, obviously Ja and Bane, the flashes that Jaren Jackson showed as well, Zaire Williams on a couple occasions stepping up. Overall offensively, the Grizzlies should be pleased with how they performed getting their first NBA playoff series win with this new generation of Grizzlies, but also how many times they look like they could close the deal against the Warriors. The Grizzlies should be satisfied with how they performed on offense, but getting better shot selection, finding the best shot possible as much as possible, and from that consistency, those are areas for the Grizzlies to grow. And they have plenty of evidence that they have what they need to be able to improve upon that, as it's going to be essential for them to move on in future playoffs. This is why we love doing Locked On Grizzlies on a daily basis. We can look at the playoffs, though we certainly would love to be talking about the Grizzlies still playing basketball. It's a lot of fun looking at how special this season is from a variety of different lenses, how it's fine to have optimism and celebrate what was done, but also look at where things could improve to make other seasons be even more special moving forward. Thanks so much for joining this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. DeMichael Cole will be back with me later on this week. You can find him at DeMichael C on Twitter as well. The show at Locked On Grizz, free on all podcast platforms, and subscribe right here on YouTube. Until next time, have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.